This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine. You are listening to episode 253. I'm your host, Josh Bomback, and today's game will be an all-Benchwarmers affair, pitting Eric Eade and Marcus Ellis versus Scott Grimes and Matt Takemoto. Let's start with Eric and Marcus. Please let us know how you're doing and what your team name is.
I am doing not the best because I had an emergency dental appointment on Friday. Super fun, so I've just been pilled up in my house wishing that maybe I would go lay in traffic. But, I mean, other than that, just great. It's almost draft time, so dating this podcast now. And I'm excited for that, so looking forward to Thursday night. Find out the futures of all the NFL teams, and everybody's going to be Hall of Famers, I'm sure.
So does the podcast consent for Marcus dating us? Just wanted to put that out there.
He can date me anytime.
I always ask for consent when I date people.
All right. Anyway, Eric, how about you?
I'm older. I lived in a time we didn't have to ask.
Jeez. Wow.
Anyway, I'm fine. I'm no sleep, so I'm also not responsible for any words that leave my mouth. I haven't slept since probably 2 days ago. I also had an emergency situation for my son, so that was a different thing. So we were in the ER since 1 a.m., and now I'm here. And to date this podcast even more, we record late at night, so this is now going on probably 48 hours of no sleep, so yay. But anyway, so Marcus and I are teaming together, and Marcus, spoiler alert, we both love South Park, so anytime we team together, I feel like we have to have a South Park-themed team name. So our team name today is, I've got a raging clue.
I've got a raging clue right now.
Right. And Scott and Matt, let us know how you guys are doing and what your team name is.
I am good. I had an equally important emergency where I had somebody who was going to lose money on a wine tasting reservation if I didn't go and drink wine. So, you know, medical emergencies, dental emergencies, wine emergencies. It's all the same thing, really.
Way to take one for the team.
What a hero.
I'm really just like sacrificing for the good of the order here. But yeah, I'm good.
There goes my hero.
Hey, not all heroes wear capes. Some drink wine.
Most drink wine.
Scott.
Josh, why do I get the feeling that by the end of this podcast, it might be just the two of us? Marcus is going to go lay in traffic. He said he might fall asleep. Matt might just, you know, be hungover. I don't know. I feel like it might just be the two of us. That's the way for Taco and I to get our first win, is that everyone else just falls asleep. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm good. Also, to I guess sort of date this podcast, but by the time you're listening to this, I will be able to confirm whether or not I am facing off against Johnny Manziel in a softball league. I just joined a new league, and they put up all the rosters for the teams, and I signed up as a free agent. So I'm looking through the team rosters, and I'm like, you know, you try to get a sense of, you know, who looks like they might be good. You have to put up like a little picture and everything, and like state your experience in playing. And I'm looking through one of the teams, and I'm seeing a couple names that I recognize, including Josie Canseco, Jose's daughter. And I scroll down a little bit more, and it says Johnny Manziel. And I'm like, all right, well, there aren't too many Johnny Manziels out there that are based out of Los Angeles who are, you know, golfers and football players and would conceivably play in like a meaningless softball league. So I can't confirm it till he's in front of me. But I'm in the league. I got assigned to a team, and their team's on the schedule. So by the time this drops, you can ask me whether or not I caught one of Johnny Manziel's fly balls. And I hope that the answer is yes.
How much blow is in that league?
I don't know yet. Again, right. You can also ask me by the time this drops. Right. I'll be able to confirm how much cocaine is in this league. Hopefully a lot, because I think that'll fare well for my team. But we'll see. My team tonight, though, has a name. Taco and I are the two California boys on this podcast. And so because all we ever want to do is teach people how to Dougie, we decided that we'll be Cali Swag District.
All right, so we've got I've got a Raging Clue versus Cali Swag District. So let's kick it over to our emeritus benchwarmer Dan Lundberg for the rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains, to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
Dan, today's first quarter will be sporting haikus.
Sporting haikus. For this quarter, there will be four questions in haiku form. Each question is worth 25 points.
Haiku number one. Tennessee Titan. Three runs of 89 plus. 09 OPY.
We'll check in.
All right. Cali Swag District has checked in, so I've got a Raging Clue. You guys can talk it out.
Three runs of 89.
You're right.
89 plus. Okay. I was just making sure. Well, the other thing is I couldn't remember the timing of Vince Young. Wasn't Vince Young 07?
Yes. No, he was never OPY, though. That's offensive player of the year, not rookie.
Oh, not. Rookie. Yeah, because he was offensive rookie of the year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think we've settled on Chris Johnson.
You got it.
Okay. We're going to check in with Chris Johnson.
All right. In Cali Swag District, what did you guys have?
Well, as Cali Swag District, of course, our first thought was USC legend Lendale White. But we decided to check in with the man they called CJ2K, Chris Johnson.
All right. Both teams are getting points. Correct answer is Chris Johnson. Johnson's rushes were 94, 91, and 89. The only other player with three rushes of at least 88 yards is Bo Jackson, who went 92, 91, and 88. And only five players in NFL history have two rushes of at least 90 yards. And that includes Amon Green, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller.
Wow.
His were both 97s.
Yes. Yes, they were.
All right. Let's move on to haiku number two. 4-13-16 had 50 field goal attempts. He scored 60 points.
We'll check in.
Oh, you nerds.
Cali Swag District has checked in. So I've got a Raging Clue. You guys can talk it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's he dropped 60 against the Jazz in his last game.
Right, and he shot everything. Like, they were just feeding him the ball, and
it was his
and he obliged, he said. Because I don't think Kobe ever met a shot he didn't like. So we will check in with Kobe Bryant.
Okay, and Cali Swag District, what did you guys have?
Yep, same thing. Definitely had 60 in his final game, and I don't remember exactly how many field goal attempts he had, but 50 sounds reasonable. When can 50 field goal attempts ever sound reasonable in Kobe's last game? So we also checked in with Kobe Bryant.
All right, both teams are getting their points. Correct answer is Kobe Bryant. And yes, it was his last game in the NBA. He went 22 for 50, including 6 for 21 from 3.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Why we're acting like that's a big deal, like he didn't shoot that many shots all the time. Wait, what?
And since 1983, when the stat was officially tracked, Michael Jordan is the only other player with at least 49 field goal attempts. And in that game, he scored 64.
Yeah. Hey, you got to put up shots to make to score points.
That is true.
I don't see the problem.
And sometimes you have to hoist up 21 threes to make six.
Yeah. Well, okay, which one is more useless? Kobe Bryant's last game 60 or Devin Booker's 60 he scored when the Suns were really, really bad and they got blown out by like 30? And they like carried him off the court. That was that. That's my. And since that day, Devin Booker, not for me. No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to haiku number three. First overall pick, 7 times on base, no hits, 2-time MVP.
Josh, we will check in.
All right, Kelly Swig District is checked in again. I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
I don't have a raging clue on this one.
No.
So I'm
translating that into no hits for his career, right? So if he's been on seven base seven times, it means it's a pitcher.
Okay.
And that would be probably an AL pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
So AL pitchers to win MVP. Verlander.
I was going to say Verlander, but was he the number one pick?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but yeah, he's definitely won MVP. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he's spent all of his time in the American League.
Trying to think of any other pitchers that won MVP that I can think of off the top of my head. Roger Clemens, was he first?
I don't know. That's the problem. I just don't know.
Probably not.
The MLB draft for me is like a black hole. Just go with your gut. Your gut is usually right.
I don't know. It's not a gut. It's just I'm just naming pitchers that I know have won an MVP. I'm sure there's others that I can't think of. So it's Kershaw, Verlander, Ohtani, but he's been on base more than so. Yeah, whatever. Let's just kill it. Verlander.
Yeah, and Cali Swag District, what'd you guys have?
We went in a different direction with that interpretation of the haiku. We thought this might be a first overall pick and a two-time MVP who once had a game where they got on base seven times with no hits. So one guy jumped to mind that fits the other two criteria and does like to walk and get on base a lot. So we checked in with Bryce Harper.
One team will be getting points. This is a single game record. The correct answer is Bryce Harper. Harper was walked six times and was hit by a pitch once during a 13-inning game on May 8th, 2016. All right, haiku number four. I expect Ede to check in immediately without even conferring with his teammate, possibly. Hockey, HOF. 19 shots on goal, one game. Bruin Av defense.
Just do it. I don't need you to type anything.
All right, we'll check in.
All right. For the first time today, I've got a raging clue has checked in first. So, Kelly Swag District, you guys can talk it out.
Bruins is doing most of the heavy lifting, but I kind of assume this is Ray Bourque. Pretty sure those are the only two teams he played with and was, I think, the most prolific scoring defenseman in hockey history. So,
yeah, he comes up a lot. He's always on those lists for like defensemen that scored a lot. So I'm great with it. Yeah. And I know he was a Bruin. And I think I do remember from at some point on this podcast hearing that he also played for Colorado. So works for me.
Okay. We'll check in with Ray Bourque.
Yeah. And I've got a raging clue, Eric.
Yeah. It's Colorado Avalanche legend, Ray Bourque.
Both teams will be getting their points. Correct answer is Ray Bourque. This occurred on March 2nd, 1991. In a 3-3 tie game against the Nordiques, Bourque scored one goal and had one assist. So he was, you know, 1 for 19. But he also holds the record for most career shots on goal and most career playoff shots on goal. So he was a defenseman who liked to shoot the puck. All right, after the first quarter, we have the following scores. I've got a raging clue has 75 and Cali Swag District has 100. This might be kind of good news for I've Got a Raging Clue because today's second quarter will be Lucky 7, the Big and Tall edition.
Lucky 7. For this quarter, there will be three lists containing seven items. The team that is trailing coming into the quarter will choose the first list and attempt to identify the items on this list one at a time. If the team has an incorrect guess, the other team can attempt to finish that list out. The team leading at the beginning of the quarter will select the second list, and whichever team is trailing after the first two lists will get the third list. Each item is worth 10 points.
Oh, we're going shopping at like Sears, huh?
So the three lists that you have to choose from. List one, the heaviest players to play in at least 30 games in NFL history. List two, the tallest players to play at least 200 games in NBA history. And list three, the tallest players to play in at least 100 games in WNBA history.
I do enjoy that these are, they have to have played a minimum amount of games. That
yeah, because if I didn't do that, there would have been whole lots of who's and what.
Right,
takes out a lot of people.
I mean, there still might be some of those, but, you know, at least less.
I mean, Eric, do we need to talk about this?
I want list one, so I don't know what you want.
Yeah, well, yeah, what are we talking about?
All right.
All right, so you guys are going with list one?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All right, so why don't you take a few minutes and put together your list for the heaviest players to play in at least 30 games in the NFL.
All right, we're going to check in.
All right, I've got a Raging Clues checked in. And they are going to start listing off who they believe are the heaviest players to play in at least 30 NFL games. So whenever you're ready, you can start listing your players.
I'm going to go with the one I think is probably number one. And I'm going to say Aaron Gibson.
Playing in 38 games, weighing in at 410 pounds, Aaron Gibson is number one.
I think we go here next.
Yeah.
All right, Nate Newton.
Playing in 198 games, weighing in at 401 pounds. Nate Newton is number two on the list.
All right, let's go with the fridge.
Playing 138 games, weighing in at 382 pounds. William the Refrigerator Perry is number five on the list.
Let's do Trent Brown here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Trent Brown. Yeah,
there it is.
Playing 100 games, weighing 380 pounds. Trent Brown is number six on the list.
So how many do we have left?
There are three names left on this list. You have one, two, five, and six you have identified.
All right, okay. We gotta go with Ted here.
Yeah, we have to.
Ted Washington.
Playing 236 games, weighing 375 pounds. Ted Washington is number seven on the list.
Ooh. What was the weight on that?
375.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
Oh, no, this, all right, we're going to, Bryant McKinney.
Playing 179 games, weighing 386 pounds, Bryant McKinney is number three on the list.
Oh, my goodness.
Got one spot left. I don't know. Let's go Terrence Cody. That's all I got.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
All right, Terrence Cody.
Playing I don't know how many games, weighing I don't know how much. He is not on the list.
Really? He was enormous.
He was a big man.
I have the guys who weighed more but didn't meet the games. And I have the guys who are the next three on the list and he didn't qualify there. So
okay. That's fair. Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm not kicking up.
Yeah. So you guys successfully named six of the seven heaviest players to play at least 30 NFL games. So there's one name left for Kelly Swag District to try and identify.
To say that I was paying attention while they were giving their names would be an understatement. Because
I assume they would just go seven for seven. All right.
Yeah. Do you want me just to do a quick recap for you guys?
Yes, please.
Please.
All right. Number one, Aaron Gibson, 410 pounds. Number two, Nate Newton, 401 pounds. Number three, Bryant McKinney, 386 pounds. Number five, William the Refrigerator Perry, 382 pounds. Number six, Trent Brown, 380 pounds. And number seven, Ted Washington, 375 pounds.
Okay, so we need someone that was like 384 pounds.
I've got less than nothing.
It's not Vince Wilfork, because if it was, that would have been the first one that he'd answered. So we can eliminate Vince Wilfork. I'm assuming it's some sort of giant nose tackle. Like Sam Adams was a pretty big guy, but I don't know. I think they would have gotten Sam Adams. I don't even know where to go on this. Maybe we throw out a last name and
sure.
Hope that it's like Williams.
I like Williams. There's lots of Williamses.
There are lots of Williamses. All right, we're going to check in with Williams.
That is incorrect, so you will not be receiving any points. Number four on this list has only played in 32 games so far.
But
he is a Golden Gopher legend from New Zealand, I think, or Australia, one of the two.
Yeah.
This would be Daniel Falalele, who weighs in at 384 pounds. And I think he actually lost some weight before he got to the pros, because I think he was playing 400 plus when he was at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, see, that's my fault, Eric. I started typing his name out, and then we were coming up with other names, and I deleted it again because I knew when he was at Minnesota, they said he was at 400 pounds. And then I think, like, at the combine, he got to, like, 370, I think, I want to say. So, yeah, it's reasonable to – I also didn't think maybe he hadn't played enough games, so – Sure. I should have at least.
It was very close to being off the list. So.
Correct. So, just to let you know, number 8 on the list is Jordan Mailata, 365. He's played 62 games. Number 9, Mekhi Becton, 364 pounds, has played in 31 games. And number 10, Orlando Brown Jr., 363 pounds, 98 games. There are four individuals who, well, one who absolutely would have been on the list had he played any games. I don't know if it's Terrell or Terrell Brown, weighed in at 403 pounds, did not play a game. Michael Jasper, who I think in college played, I think he was like 450 pounds in college. He dropped down to 375, but did not play a game in the NFL. And then you also have Caleb Jones, who's 370 pounds. He was a rookie last year, I think, and he's played in one game. And then we have a guy who I think went to play, or not play, but to join professional wrestling after his career, and that's TJ Barnes, 364 pounds, but only played 21 games. So those are some of the big boys.
There's no bonus points for me guessing the exact weight at 384, right?
No, but that was, I mean, you only had three possible numbers it could have been, and you picked the middle one. So that's, Cali Swag District, do you guys have the list you guys would like to attempt?
Yeah, we're going to go with the tallest NBA players with 200 games played.
Right. Damn it.
All right. Well, why don't you take a few minutes, put your list together, and then let me know when you're ready to go.
We will check in.
All right. Cali Swag District has checked in, and they are going to start naming the players that they believe are the tallest players to play in at least 200 NBA games. So whenever you're ready, start listing the names.
Okay, we will begin our sojourn with Yao Ming.
Playing in 481 games, he's 7'6". He is tied for third on the list, Yao Ming.
That actually makes me feel better about some down list folks that we weren't sure if they had enough games. Next, we'll go Sean Bradley.
Playing in 832 games, also 7'6", and tied for third on the list, Sean Bradley.
After that, let's go Manute Bol.
Playing in 625 games, he's 7'7". He's tied for first. That is Manute Bol.
Okay. This is one of the ones we might be worried about games, but I feel pretty good about it. Boban Marjanovic.
Just to let you know, there are four people tied for fifth. You can identify three of them. One of them, who has played 331 games and is 7'4", is Boban Marjanovic.
Okay, next, I'm hoping that Manute Bol is tied for first with this guy. My giant himself, George Mirason.
Playing in 307 games, he is 7'7", tied for first, George Mirason.
Okay, next, let's go with Mark Eaton.
He played 875 games. He is 7'4" and tied for fifth on the list. It is Mark Eaton.
Okay. Well, then it comes down to our last one because we eliminated some folks and weren't sure about some others. So we're going to take a shot with Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo is not tall enough.
For this, not for life. Yeah.
So he is not for life. He is not tied for fifth and he is not tied for ninth. So my guess is he's probably 7'2".
He cannot ride this roller coaster.
Yeah, I think he is
7 foot 2. All right, can you recap that list for us?
Yep, sir? Give me a second here. I got to move a cat.
That's a reasonable thing to do.
That's not jargon, guys. He's actually
moved a cat. In, she was in the way of my screen here. So
Carl Anthony Towns came to Josh's house after the victory.
Josh had to carefully move him out of the way.
Yes. All right. Two players tied for first. That's Manute Bol and George Mirazan at 7 foot 7. Two players tied for third. Sean Bradley and Yao Ming are 7 foot 6. And two of the four 7 foot 4 players tied for fifth are Mark Eaton and Boban Marjanovic. So you need to identify one of the two who are also 7 foot 4.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
All right. So I think that's easy enough. Marcus, it's Rick Smits was 7'4". I know that.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go with Rick Smits.
All right, playing in 867 games. He is 7'4", and his name is Rick Smits. So good job, guys. Does anyone have a guess at who the last remaining 7'4" player is?
My guess would be, what's his name? Ralph Sampson.
Ralph Sampson played in 456 games and is also 7'4". So you guys ended up together running the list. Tied for ninth, there are four 7'3" guys who played in at least 200 games. They are Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Randy Brewer, Arvydas Sabonis, and Hasheem Thabeet. And we have
he did make the list. Wow. I threw him out and Scott's like, there's no way he got that many games.
He played 224 games. So,
Wow, good for him. Define played.
he checked in and
he was legally on the court.
Yes. All right.
He was legally on the court.
How many minutes?
There are a number of other people who were 7'4" or taller who just did not have enough games.
And Taco Fall.
He only played 37 games. Chuck Nevitt, I think from the 1980s.
Yes.
Zhang Zizi.
7'5".
I thought Wang Zizi,
Wang Zizi.
Podkolzin, 7'5", played in 6 games. Podkolzin. Sim Bular.
Sim Bular. New Mexico State.
Three games.
Who's the guy for... There's a guy from Montenegro. I know that.
Is that Slavko Vranes?
Yes.
Vranes. 7'5". He played in one NBA game. 7'4", we have Priest Lauderdale. He played in 74 games.
I forgot he's that tall.
And, of course, we do have currently Victor Wembanyama is 7'4", but he's only played in 71 games so far. He would be on this list. So if you're listening to this after, you know, like in 2026 or beyond, Victor Wembanyama would be on the list. But when this was recorded in 2024, he did not play enough games yet, so... For those of you who are listening in the future. So I've got a raging clue. You guys still have less points than Cali Swag District. So you will be the first to try and identify as many of the tallest players to play in at least 100 WNBA games. So, I mean, Eric, you have claimed that this is the year where, you know, you are a supporter of women. So now let's see you prove it.
Where's Cheryl Swoops on the list? I don't know.
And so, just to let you know, this one has a similar thing. There are three players tied for sixth, so you can identify two of them.
We're going to check in, Josh.
All right. I've got a raging clue. It's checked in, and they are going to try to identify as many of as they can of the tallest players to play in at least 100 games in the WNBA.
We'll check in Margot Dydek.
Playing in 323 games, she's as tall as Dikembe Mutombo, 7'2". That is Margot Dydek, number one on the list.
I would hope she's number one.
Dikembe Mutombo, tallest player in WNBA history. Got it.
Tied.
Still not tall enough, even in the WNBA. All right, got it.
Okay, and then we'll go with Brittany Griner.
Having played 285 games, she's 6'9". She's number two on the list, Brittany Griner.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Then we will go with Liz Cambage.
Playing in 167 games, she's 6'8" and tied for third, Liz Cambage.
I think I need glasses because when you type that in the chat, I thought you would type cabbage. All right.
She's cabbage.
Liz Cabbage.
All right. Should we go with yours then next? You're...
Sure.
Okay. We'll go with Sylvia Fowles.
Playing in 408 games, she's 6'6" and tied for ninth on the list.
Oh,
damn it.
So unfortunately, she's not quite tall enough.
I was excited.
Me too.
I had a raging clue.
Great fake out there, Josh. That was good.
All right. So they identified first Margot Dydek, second Brittany Griner, and tied for third Liz Cambage. There are still four possible, there's five possible people to name, four of which can get you points. And just to recap, we had 7'2", 6'9", 6'8", and then 6'6" was not tall enough. So
okay. You're looking for like a...
So we need 6'6.5" and up. This is a 384 situation again. I guessed it on the nose.
Right. So that kind of makes me like my... I put in the chat, I know because I casually follow the Dallas Wings because Satu Sabali is my love.
That's also a great choice.
I know that Tierra McCowan is 6'7".
So, I mean, if you know that, then we got to do that one.
Okay, so let's be on there. We'll go Tierra McCowan.
Having played in 151 games, she is indeed 6'7". Tierra McCowan is tied for sixth.
So it brings up the question of how tall is Rebecca Lobo?
Yeah, and that
I would assume is... not tall enough because I think they would have named her if
she right. Was tall. Trying to think of who else. I don't think Lisa Leslie is 6'7".
No, she might be 6'6.5". Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, that's one that like would be on there. How tall was Tina Thompson?
Oh, that's another one that I would love to know, but don't. I don't know that she's not 6'7". Okay. I like it. It's better than anything else we've got, so.
Yeah. All right, Josh, we're going to check in with Tina Thompson.
Tina Thompson is nowhere near this list. She is only 6'2".
Really?
Only 6'2".
And Rebecca Lobo, also not near this list, 6'4". Hmm. So, two other players, 6'8". Playing 158 games, Katie Matera. And playing in 114 games, Maria Stepanova. And then the two others tied for sixth are playing in 121 games, 6'7", Imani McGee Stafford.
Oh, JaVale's sister.
And 116 games, also 6'7", Allison Bales. You guys got one on that one. So
I owe you a little bit of money on some of those names, Josh, but we can talk about that up there.
This was the list. You know, usually it's good to have one of the lists where it might be a little tougher to get them all. So
of course, it's next time we'll take the baseball list.
I'm not going to go through the whole list of 6'7" and up who didn't have enough games because I don't want to try to pronounce all these names. But Lauren Jackson, 6'6", so she is tied for ninth as well with a bunch of other tall ladies. So, all right. Well, after the second quarter, we have the following scores. We have a lead change. I've got a Raging Clue is up to 175 in Cali Swag Districts at 170. So it is anybody's game. And that brings us to halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions. Each question is worth 25 points.
It is time for another edition of ChatGPT pre and post game with a little bit of a twist. I asked ChatGPT to make up plots for movies based on the combination of two movies and or television shows, with at least one being about sports. So they could be two movies. They could be two television shows. They could be one of each. So before they were always movies, I'm branching out. Plot number one. The story revolves around young Martha, an aspiring soccer player who dreams of joining her school's boys soccer team. Inspired by her admiration for Margaret Thatcher, Martha decides to disguise herself as a boy and join the team. As Martha navigates the challenges of hiding her true identity while honing her skills on the field, she becomes an unexpected source of inspiration and leadership for her teammates. With a perfect blend of humor, empowerment, and girl power, this film challenges stereotypes, celebrates inclusivity, and showcases the indomitable spirit of a young girl determined to break barriers and follow her passion.
We're checked in.
Cali Swag District has checked in, so I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
I mean, it's ladybugs, and Margaret Thatcher was the Iron Lady, so I have no idea if it's whatever. So I think we just go with that, unless you got something better.
So in Ladybugs, a girl dresses up to play on the boys' team?
No, I think they just they flipped that around because it's the girl or a boy that dresses up and plays on the girls' team.
Ah. Okay.
You've never seen Ladybugs?
No.
No? All right. We're going to check in with the Iron Ladybugs.
Hey, and Cali Swag District, what did you guys have?
Yeah, it's Rodney Dangerfield's best work. I don't care what anyone says. His best work. I absolutely love and adore the movie Ladybugs and watched it like 100 times growing up. We also checked in with the Iron Ladybugs.
Both teams will be getting their points. The correct answer is the Iron Ladybugs. You're correct that ChatGPT did flip it around, but it still had the premise of what it was for you guys to hone in on. So, and the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast does not endorse Scott Grimes's beliefs on best Rodney Dangerfield movies, because the best by far is Back to School. All right, well, let's move on to plot number two. Set in the 1980s, a group of young, aspiring filmmakers unwittingly captures evidence of an alien presence during a Major League Baseball game. As they investigate further, they uncover a conspiracy surrounding the game and discover that a group of players have been implicated in a match-fixing scandal. With the help of their newfound extraterrestrial allies, the young filmmakers embark on a mission to expose the truth and save the integrity of the sport they love. It's an exciting blend of mystery, adventure, and coming of age, where friendship, loyalty, and the pursuit of justice take center stage in a world where both earthly and otherworldly forces collide.
We'll check in.
Cali Swag District has checked in. I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
I was thinking of match fixing. Made me think of Eight Men Out, which was the Black Sox movie.
Oh, so Super Eight Men Out
is what I was thinking.
Because when I typed Cloverfield of Dreams, I'm like, why would Josh write a Field of Dreams question? I like yours better now.
So. But I like thinking about Kevin Costner in a found footage. He's in the cornfield. It's just him running around.
Giving everybody in the theater motion sickness. Yeah,
yes. Cool. Okay, so we'll check in with Super Eight Men Out.
All right, and Cali Swag District, what do you guys have?
Same thing. I genuinely hope Cloverfield of Dreams is the third question in this halftime. But yeah, we also checked in with Super 8 Men Out.
Both teams are getting points. Correct answer is Super 8 Men Out, and that's a really good one, so maybe that'll be a future. It won't be question three, but that could be a future one. That's a good one. All right, let's move on to plot number three. In a fantastical realm where kingdoms vie for power and dragons roam the skies, the fate of the realm is determined not only by swords and sorcery, but also by the sport of basketball. The Seven Kingdoms are gripped by a civil war, and the only way to establish peace is through a basketball tournament. Enter Jake, a former basketball star turned prisoner, who is offered a chance at freedom if he can convince his estranged son, John, to join the tournament and lead their kingdom to victory. John, however, is torn between his duty to his family and his desire to forge his own path. As he grapples with his decision, John encounters a mysterious figure known only as the Night King, who seeks to claim the crown for himself and plunge the realm into eternal darkness. As the tournament reaches its thrilling and action-packed climax, John and his allies must battle the Night King and his army of the dead to determine the future of the realm. With the fate of the Seven Kingdoms hanging in the balance, they must confront their own demons and summon all their courage and skill to defeat the forces of darkness and restore peace to the land.
We'll check in.
Cali Swag District has checked in, so I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
Yeah, we're good.
Wait, I'm just looking up. Yeah, gotta check the wall, huh? That's what you're telling me. That was a bad Denzel. I was trying to think of Denzel as like as like Jon Snow. Yeah, go ahead.
He got Game of Thrones.
All right, and Kelly Swag District, what did you guys have?
Now I'm just imagining Denzel Washington playing Kit Harington in a game of one-on-one, except he's in full like Night's Watch like garb and just cannot move well on the court at all. So so Jake Shuttlesworth just absolutely cooks him. We also checked in with He Got Game of Thrones.
Both teams are getting their points. The correct answer is, in fact, He Got Game of Thrones.
How have we not even brought up the idea of Peter Dinklage on a basketball court as part of the tournament? And Muggsy Bogues shows up. To
I drink and I know like things. Well, you don't know how to guard a post up. I know that.
I drink and I get buckets.
He's the Steph Curry of Westeros. What are you talking about?
Oh, of course.
Got the lineage.
All right. So after halftime, same difference in score, but the scores have gone up. I've got a Raging Clues at 250 and Cali Swag District's at 245. Today's third quarter will be The Missing Link.
The Missing Link. This quarter will consist of five questions with theme-linked answers. The teams will attempt to answer the questions and guess the theme. Each question is worth 20 points. If a team checks in first via chat to the host with the correct theme before the fifth question, they will earn 100 points. The other team can still earn 50 points with the correct theme guess. If neither team has checked in with the correct theme before the fifth question, each team can earn 50 points with the correct answer to the theme after the fifth question.
Question one in The Missing Link. What shooting guard from Tennessee, who was drafted 11th overall by the Detroit Pistons in 1993, was better known for his time with an Eastern Conference team that he spent the last 9 years of his career with?
We can check in.
Hey, Cali Swag District has checked in, so I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
You saw what I typed, right?
Yeah, I'm trying. He did go to Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, Allen Houston, when I think of shooting guards in Tennessee, that's just the first thing that comes up. I didn't know this for sure, but, I mean, he was known as a New York Knicks, so that would make sense.
Yeah, I would say, because I don't remember him with Detroit at all.
Yeah, me neither. But the time frame seems to fit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 93, he was, that's his draft year.
I say we go for it.
All right, I trust it.
All right. We'll check in with Allen Houston.
Okay, and Cali Swag District?
Yeah, I knew this one pretty much right away. He was there right at the end of the blue and red jerseys, right before they switched to the awesome sort of, you know, jerseys that I associate with Grant Hill. But yeah, this is definitely Allen Houston.
Both teams are getting points. Correct answer is Allen Houston. Houston's number 20 has been retired by the Volunteers. Moving on to question two. What member of the 500 home run club shares his name with the player who is 25th in all-time points scored for the NFL?
That's it.
Thank you. Yep. I was just trying to do that. Yeah, we were doing the same thing.
All right, we'll check in.
Okay, I've got a Raging Clue has checked in. Cali Swag District, you guys can talk it out.
I don't think there's a whole lot to talk out. He's definitely a member of the 500 home run club and shares his name with a kicker from the 80s and 90s who kickers tend to be very high up there on that all-time point scored list. So we are going to check in with Eddie Murray.
Hey, and I've got a raging clue. What did you guys have?
Oh, we overthought it. We went with El Del Greco. No, we checked in with Eddie Murray.
Both teams are getting points. Correct answer is Eddie Murray. Murray has the least total home runs for a member of the 500 home run club with 504, which is 28th all time. And the top 42 point scorers in NFL history are kickers, to no surprise. Jerry Rice tops the non-kicker point scored list. The theme-linked answers thus far are Allen Houston and Eddie Murray. Moving on to question three. What NBA head coach is second to only Phil Jackson in championships won with 9? He also won 7 NBA championships as an executive.
We're going to check in.
Okay, I've got a Raging Clues checked in. So, Cali Swag District, you guys can talk it out.
I don't.
So, is the question, did Red Auerbach go into the front office?
I think he did. Didn't he become like team president or something when
I believe
Bill Russell took over the team as a player coach or whatever?
Yeah, and I think he stayed there for a while, right? Like, I think he was still there into the 90s as an executive.
Right. I can't imagine it being anybody else.
I think it has to be because, like, also, right, winning 7 as a championship, you'd have to think that cuts into some of the Russell championships. And then again, with like the Bird teams.
Right. Maybe he's still president in the 80s.
I think he was. Yeah. I can't really think of anyone else that those stats would work for.
Yeah. All right. We'll check in Red Auerbach.
Hey, and I've got a Raging Clue. What did you guys have?
Yeah, we were just looking at it, and I know that Red Auerbach went into the front office, and it seemed to fit the rest of the clues, so we also checked in with Red Auerbach.
Both teams are getting points. Correct answer is Red Auerbach. Auerbach's 16 NBA championship is the most combined for any player, head coach, and or executive. The theme-linked answers thus far are Allen Houston, Eddie Murray, and Red Auerbach. Moving on to question 4. What 2021 Roberto Clemente Award winner signed a one-day contract on opening day this year to officially retire as a Seattle Mariner, even though he spent twice as many seasons as a member of a rival AL West team?
We can check in.
I've got a Raging Clue has checked in really quickly, to no surprise. So, Cali Swag District, you guys can talk it out.
Okay, what's the Clemente Award? That's just like a an off the field thing, or is it an actual?
Yeah, that's the like
kind of like their Man of the Year award, right?
The link. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So this could be a pitcher or a hitter. That's what I was kind of trying to figure out.
Right.
This could be. All right. So who would want to retire as a Mariner? This season,
right?
Mariner's legend, clearly so. And then spent time somewhere else. All right,
so spent time in
probably not Oakland. They don't keep players long enough typically to have someone been there twice as long. So I'm thinking the Angels or the Astros
or the Rangers.
Certainly could be Texas. There's a lot of guys that play for, like, Adrian Beltre, right? Played for.
Right.
Check, but he retired a couple years ago. Right. And
what about Nelson Cruz?
Oh, why would he want to? No shade to the Mariners. It's interesting that that's the team he would
like, want to retire.
Like, I just don't know if he spent so
much. I'm just trying to think of guys with.
That does make sense, though, because
guys with Mariners connections who, spent time in the rest.
And
of the
he was place. And he was active last season. So yeah, that would. Makes sense to have a recent retirement. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Because it's not Kendall Graveman. I know he's been Mariners and Astros, but he's still active. So,
right.
Yeah, I like Nelson Cruz. And yeah, he was on the Rangers for a bit.
Right.
So that would be twice as long.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. We'll check in Nelson Cruz.
Okay. And I've got a Raging Clue. What'd you guys have for an answer?
He would want to retire with them because he had some very good years, despite being like 35 plus. He was a multiple time All-Star, I think, with the Mariners. And yeah, he spent a bunch of time other places, more time other places. But yeah, got to opening day this year and they were like, hey, Nelson Cruz signed a 1-day contract to retire as a Mariner. We were all like, oh, all right, sweet. So yes, we've also checked in with Nelson Cruz.
All right, both teams are getting their points. The correct answer is Minnesota Twin legend Nelson Cruz. Cruz is 37th on the all-time home run list with 464, 76 of which he hit as a Minnesota Twin. And yeah, I guess he did hit 163 with Seattle in his 4 years there, and only 157 in his 8 years with Texas. So
yeah, that does make sense when you say that.
Yeah, so the theme-linked answers thus far are Alan Houston, Eddie Murray, Red Auerbach, and Nelson Cruz. Okay, moving on to question five. What point guard out of Providence played his only 20 NBA games as a rookie for the Washington Wizards in 1997-98? He would go on to play professionally for over a decade, mostly overseas.
It has to be.
I can't think of anything else it could be.
And there's that, too.
Yeah, that was like, also where I was going. All right.
I think it has to be.
Cool. We'll check in.
Hey, Cali Swag District has checked in. So I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
How's it going? I'm not super adept at Providence point guards.
Is that what's that guy? He went to
what's
Providence.
That guy?
It's is it God Sham God? He's a Providence dude.
I mean, yeah, that's a person.
I know he went to Providence. I don't know who he drafted him, but that's around 97.
Okay, go with it.
I don't know what that does for anything else that we're going with, but yeah, we'll check in with God Sham God.
Oh.
Okay, and Cali Swag District, what'd you guys have?
We also checked in with God Sham God.
Both teams will be getting their points. Correct answer is God Sham God. And Shamgod is currently a player development coach with the Dallas Mavericks.
So he's responsible for Luka. Huh.
So the theme-linked answers are Alan Houston, Eddie Murray, Red Auerbach, Nelson Cruz, and God Shamgod. So one team has submitted a correct theme guess. So I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk out what you believe the actual theme is. It is not generic white guys.
Oh, that's amazing.
So Eric, once he said God Sham God, it kind of made more sense to me, and maybe you can help me suss out the rest of these. But didn't Morgan Freeman's character in Shawshank was Red, right? Red something?
Yeah, played Nelson Mandela.
And then he played God in Bruce Almighty. And then
it was Houston.
Or Allen.
Oh, yeah. Allen.
I think it's Morgan Freeman characters. I can't
that
suss
sounds,
them out. But.
No, that's right. That's right. That
okay. Right. We'll check that in.
Hey, and Cali Swag District, what did you guys have?
This was literally just a Hail Mary. Like, we did not get to God Sham God because of the theme, because we didn't know if it was right, because I thought you might ask to be more specific. So we were just sitting there like, all right, we'll just throw out a name. And we just threw out Morgan Freeman because I was like, well, he's in the movie Red and he played a character named Red. And that's literally all we had to go off of. So we just threw out Morgan Freeman. But what's cool about this is we could have six more missing links of Morgan Freeman movies and none of them would be repeats.
That is true. So both teams will be getting points for the theme. Cali Swag District will be getting 100, and I've got a raging clue will be getting 50, because these are the first names of Morgan Freeman roles. First, we have President Alan Trumbull from the Has Fallen series. We have Eddie Scrap Iron Dupree from Million Dollar Baby. We have Ellis Boyd Red Redding from The Shawshank Redemption. As mentioned, Nelson Mandela from Invictus. And God from the Almighty Collection. So good job sussing out the theme, even though it got, you weren't as confident as maybe you could have been. But I think that was the only way I could have God Sham God. And I know he's been an answer before. So, yeah, there you go. So after the third quarter, we have the following scores. We have another lead change. I've got a raging clue is 400, and Cali Swag District is up to 445. And that brings us to the fourth quarter.
the fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
Okay, so the categories for today are as follows. Question one, Unforgiven, in reference to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Question two, Seven, in reference to Major League Baseball. Question three, Wanted, in reference to the NFL. And question four, The Dark Knight, in reference to college football. It is now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wages are in, on to the questions. Question one in the category of Unforgiven. What NBA player was recently given a lifetime ban for violating league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors and betting on NBA games?
Check in.
I got a raging clue. It's checked in. Cali Swag District, you guys can talk it out. I'm guessing it probably won't take very long.
Yeah, this is Michael Porter Jr.'s less talented brother.
And now unemployed brother, Jontay Porter.
Yep, we're checked in with that for 100 points.
Okay, and I've got a raging clue. What was your answer and wager?
Yeah, this is maybe the dumbest man in the history of sports. Because when you're not very talented and you're barely holding onto a roster spot, I don't know that gambling and getting banned from that sport is the best move. I could also say Seattle high school legend Jontay Porter is what we checked in with for 100 points.
Well, both teams are getting their points. Porter was on a two-way contract with the Toronto Raptors this season. And as mentioned, he is the younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., who plays for the Denver Nuggets. And I guess he'll be asking his brother for money forever. Just.
Ugh, what an idiot.
Both teams' scores went up by 100. Let's just move on to question two in the category of seven. What Hall of Fame player who was inducted into Cooperstown this century wore the number seven during each of his 21 seasons in the major leagues, the most by any player in Major League Baseball history? He did wear two other numbers during partial season stints with two different teams, but the number seven was already retired for those two teams.
We'll check in, Josh.
Okay, Cali Swag District has checked in, so I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out.
So like I said, the people that have played 21 seasons is a very short list.
Yes.
And if you put that with players that wore the number seven, I mean, immediately think of Mickey Mantle, but I don't think he played 21 seasons. Craig Biggio, I think he's short of 21 too, but I think Pudge hit 21.
I think he hit 21, and I can't remember seeing him in another number. Like all of the
who else
stops
would he play for?
Had.
Marlins,
Tigers.
Oh, yep, Tigers. He was at the Yankees for a minute.
Well, that was what. So I put that in the chat right before we started talking. Yeah, I was like, did he play for the Yankees? So that would make sense for the number being retired.
Okay. So two other teams that with the number seven retired. So then if he played for, does Detroit have number seven retired?
Maybe.
Or the Astros. Or maybe the Astros. When did Biggio retire?
Oh, God.
Because if he retired, they probably retired his number right away.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean,
so then that would make sense for that second retired number. So I don't know. I don't want to overthink it. I say we go Pudge.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, we're going to check in with Ivan Rodriguez for 100 points.
Hey, and Kelly Swag District, what did you guys have for an answer and wager?
First thought was Biggio, but the second half of that ruled Biggio out. So we just took a moment to kind of think of other, like, you know, iconic number sevens, and Pudge Rodriguez popped up. And yeah, he spent some time on the Yankees, who retired it for Mantle, and he did spend some time in Houston, who conceivably retired it for Biggio. Maybe it was still kind of an unofficial retirement thing when Pudge was there. But we also checked in with Ivan Rodriguez for 100 points.
Both teams will be getting their points. Correct answer is Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. You do have it exactly right. Rodriguez wore number 12 with the Yankees, and he wore numbers 12 and 77 with the Astros. Craig Biggio wore the number 7 during 19 of his 20 seasons. He wore number 4 during his rookie season and part of his second season. And Mickey Mantle wore the number 7 during each of his 18 seasons, but he also wore number 6 for part of his rookie season. So those are the top three longest spanning wearing of number 7. So you guys hit it completely nail on the head. And I do believe the Astros had officially retired Biggio's number a year or two before Pudge joined the team. So there was no doubt that he just wasn't going to get to wear his number. So good job sussing that one out, guys. Once again, scores went up by 100 on each side. Don't need to really recap much. Let's move on to question 3 in the category of wanted. NFL starting quarterbacks rarely become free agents in the prime of their careers, let alone twice. Kirk Cousins has been a wanted free agent quarterback 2 times. Within $10 million, what is Kirk Cousins' career earnings, counting the guaranteed salary owed to him in 2024 per over the cap?
Yeah, I like that. Let's we'll do that. Josh, we're going to check in. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you that the amount that is too much, and you're not going to like the number.
All right. Kelly Swag District has checked in. So I've got a raging clue. You guys can talk it out and let me know when you get to your answer and your wager.
All right. How long was he in Washington? He was in Washington for
six years, I think. 5 or 6.
2012 to 2017, so 5. Okay, so figure average, counting his rookie deal, 10 a year. So 5, so that's 50. So we just leave him at $50 million for his time in Washington. Then he signed with Minnesota. He's been there for, so there was 18 until this just now, so 23. That's another 5. So what was he averaging then? Maybe 30?
It's a lot.
It is. I feel like 30 might be too high then. So let's, I don't know. Say he averages less than that. So I don't know. At the end, it's just going to be guessing.
Well, like I said, I've heard this number on a podcast and I just can't remember. I've heard the number because they're like, hey, by the way, Mr. Officially the greatest bag getter in the history of the NFL.
Over 200?
Oh, yeah.
Because what we're creeping up on.
Oh, no. I think it's over 250.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he signed his initial deal with Minnesota, and then he signed another extension.
That's right. That's right.
And then he just got
first one with Minnesota was like 3 years, 80-something, because my friend's a Vikings fan, and he asked me how I felt about it when it happened. I'm like, I wouldn't like that.
And then they signed him for a big old number.
So he had another he's signed twice with them.
Yes.
Last time was just the 1 year, which was like 30. So if you average, we'll say he's at 180 plus 50 plus another 90. So you said it's north of 250.
Yes, I'm almost positive it's north of 250.
Is it north of 270?
I don't know.
It doesn't ring a bell.
I wish I could tell you. Like I said, I've heard it before, mm-hmm. but I just, you know, it's one of those things I'm just like, ew, gross. And I just let it go in one ear out the other. I know it's north of 250. I don't know how north of it.
Let's say 275.
Sure.
Nice round odd number.
All right. Okay.
All right, we'll check in with $275 million for 100 points.
Okay, and Cali's Swag District, what'd you guys have for an answer and a wager?
Yeah, similar to Marcus. Like, I remember seeing it when he first signed the contract, and also similar to Marcus, it was kind of in one ear and out the other because I immediately dismissed it because I was like, it's ridiculous and it's an amount of money I'll never see. So I'm not going to remember this. I definitely knew it was north of 200. I couldn't remember anything else of where it was. I wasn't quite sure if it got to 250 or not. I'm worried now that Marcus is so confident that it is. We thought it might be in the 225 range, so we ended up going with 220 to get us, you know, from 210 to 230. So we checked in with 220 million for 100 points.
Well, unfortunately, both teams are going to be losing 100 points because you guys are underestimating the absolute bags that he does collect. The range that you would have needed to hit was between basically 284 million and 304 million.
Ooh.
The man has made, let me get you the exact number here. It's a $293,969,288. The breakdown, wow. Give me a second here, is roughly, so with the Commanders, he made $46,469,288. With Minnesota, he made $185 million.
Whoa. Whoa.
And with the Falcons, he has a $50 million signing bonus. And for this upcoming season, he's going to make only $12.5 million. But that puts him at $293,969,288. Way too much money. Oh, let me get to my flavor text because that's even better. Cousins is currently sixth on the career earnings list, behind only Aaron Rodgers, who has one Super Bowl win, Matthew Stafford, who has one Super Bowl win, Tom Brady, who has seven Super Bowl wins, Matt Ryan, who has one Super Bowl appearance, and Russell Wilson, who has one Super Bowl win. Cousins has one career playoff victory.
Who is that?
Let that sink in. Huh?
It's worth 293 million.
Who was that against?
Who was that against?
At that would be your team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, he I guess that makes it right that he's made almost $300 million because he beat the Cowboys once in a playoff game. I mean, it's a whole different discussion about how much money Dak Prescott has made too, but not this much.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Oh wait, yeah. But Cousins isn't done. He's not done making. Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, but he's at least going other places and making that money. Dak Prescott's going to sit right where he's at.
True. Well, if you don't have to go anywhere and keep getting your bag, then.
And what does that tell you?
Work smarter, not harder.
That Jerry Jones is an idiot.
Ah, there it is.
All right. Well, once again, both teams went the same direction, down 100. So. It is still a 45-point difference game. Heading into the final question in the category of The Dark Knight. The Black Knights of Army have had three players win the Heisman Trophy. Name one of these players.
We'll check in.
Okay, I've got a Raging Clue has checked in. Cali Swag District, you guys can talk it out. Let me know when you've got an answer and your wager.
Okay, the only thing that I've got on this is my own broken brain, because I remember looking at this Heisman list in the past and seeing a guy on there named Glenn Davis, and like chuckling to myself, imagining Glenn Big Baby Davis winning a Heisman Trophy. It just, that was funny. So the name Glenn Davis is stuck in my head. And I think he went to Army. That's really all I got though. I'd love to tie it to something more concrete than Glenn Big Baby Davis.
So what you're saying is, a future question is, name a Heisman Trophy winner that also won SEC Player of the Year while playing for LSU, and the answer would be Glenn Davis.
It would be Glenn Davis. I've already asked a Glenn Davis question on this podcast, so I can't do it, but somebody else can.
I'm good with that. If it sticks out in your mind, then there's a reason for that, I would imagine, so I'm good with it.
Okay, we will check in Glenn Davis for 56 points.
Okay, and I've got a raging clue. What do you guys have for an answer and a wager?
The reason that I just had to do a little mental check in my head is one of these people, one of these three people's grandson used to work on my cars. He's a mechanic that my dad met, and he used to work on my old Saturn SL2, my 1994 Saturn. And he has a bunch of old pictures and some memorabilia at his house that he's shown me. So we also checked in with Glenn Davis for 100 points.
Well, both teams will be getting their points because one of the three is in fact Glenn Davis, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1946. The year before, Doc Blanchard won the Heisman Trophy, so 1945. Yep. And in 1958, Pete Dawkins won the Heisman Trophy. So Blanchard would go on to become a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. Davis would play two seasons in the NFL after his service obligation ended in 1950, winning an NFL championship in 1951. And Dawkins would go on to become a brigadier general in the U.S. Army. All three are members of the College Football Hall of Fame. And with that, the game has come to an end, and here are the final scores. With 600 points, we have I've Got a Raging Clue, and our clipboard captains of the game, who are receiving the coveted Desmond Ritter Award with 601 points, is Cali Swag District. Congratulations, guys.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that's what it was. So,
I know that we often, we just throw it over to guests if they have anything they want to say. We have no guests, so if you guys have anything that you guys would like to say before we call a night, please do so.
Shout out to Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Great game, Josh. Great game.
Yeah.
Whoever's editing this, 1, 2, 3, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Alexander Gorgiev.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
7 goals on 23 shots.
It's not great.
All right. End of recording, Josh.
All right. So, on behalf of Ead, Scott, Marcus, Taco, the rest of the Benchwarmers, and myself, we'd like to say thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time, we'll keep the bench warm.
You know who should be on the bench? Alexander Gorgiev.
Ball hit high and deep. Stretch. Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.